Thank you all for that one. Now, that one's not a new song either, correct?
It is not, no.
I seem to remember that one from a while back as well, kind of like It Only Takes a Spark, or Pass It On, I guess, is really the right title for that song. Again, as I said earlier, if you have your Bibles, turn to Psalms 23 as we continue in our series. We're looking this morning at an antidote to indecision. We are looking at the seven things that cause the most stress in our lives. The Psalms 23, happens to mention or addresses those things that cause stress in our life, but even more important than that, it tells us in Psalms 23, it gives us the antidote. As you're turning there, I want to remind you kind of what we've talked about for many, many years. About the only time I ever looked at Psalms 23 was during either in the midst or at the graveside or whatever, but of funeral services. And I finally came to realize that this passage is not just for when we have a loss. That in reality, this passage, the 23rd Psalm, gives us antidotes for those things that affect us and those things that give us trouble in every day of our life. If you look in your bulletin, if you haven't already got it there, you can find the sheet for this morning, and it has a few blanks in it, not very many, but it has the passages that we're going to be looking at this morning as well. We've already looked at that God's antidote to worry, and that being where, for the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. We've looked at his antidote, God's antidote for busyness, when he says, I shall not be in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. And then last week we looked at, he restores my soul. We look at the antidote for damaged emotions. If you have missed any of those and you would like to be caught back up on that series, I haven't mentioned it in a few Sundays, and so I wanted to this morning to remind you that if you will go to the church's website, which is really easy to remember, it's just the 3Ws dot fbccahoma.org, and you can go and you can click on the listen to the messages, and you can get caught up on those as well as any other ones that you would like to follow up with. We also have the announcements are there. Also, our evening services are there. Also, the classes, the sessions that Brian's been teaching is there on the website as well. And so, you know, Brian does a great job, and we appreciate him greatly for all the work he does and getting all those put on the website for us, because it's a great reference tool. It's a great tool to use for when somebody misses or you want to get caught up. You want to go back and look at something or whatever. So I would encourage you to do that. But this morning, we're going to look at God's antidote to indecision. We're going to look at Psalms 23:3, the second part of it, where it says, he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The book of James, chapter 1, is where we've been looking at in the evening services, and we'll continue to look in James this evening. But in James chapter 1, the double-minded man, according to James in chapter 1, says he's unstable in all of his ways. Well, that word unstable literally means to stagger like a drunk. And the reason I mention that is because indecision does that to us as well, doesn't it? When we can't decide, when we are double-minded, when we can't decide which way to go. I started to include, let me back up a minute. I've been working really, really hard at keeping these messages where we're not going over. But I was really tempted to put that Dr. Seuss in there about the Zode. who couldn't decide which way to go. Y'all remember that one? Parents that have little ones remember it, so don't even have to tell you, do it. But indecision, double-mindedness, is not being able to decide what we're going to do, which way we should go. And that causes stress in our lives. To the point, really, the antidote to the stress of indecision is really quite simply, just let God guide your path. Just let God be your guide. Now, I know that's easier said than done, and that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. I want to talk to you about how you let him guide you. But he says, he guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Really, in a modern terms, in a modern idea, literally, David, today's day, he would say, he keeps me on track. That's a better literal translation, I guess, of that. Because we see a shepherd not only feeds us, he leads us. A shepherd not only provides, he guides. A shepherd not only protects, he also directs. And so he says, I will guide you through this life if you'll let me. And it's pretty easy to get off track, isn't it? It's pretty easy to get off on the wrong path. It doesn't take much at all. We become preoccupied with trivial things. We become preoccupied with minor things. And then all of a sudden we look up and we have no idea what path we're on. We don't know how. We can spend time with God and see the path over here we're supposed to be, and we think, how in the world did I get over here? Well, sometimes it's just because we tried to do it on our own. Some of you may be saying, now, Brother Mark, I've done that before. I've asked God to guide my path, and it doesn't ever seem to work out for me. Seem to be more confused than ever before. You may even have at one time wondered, you know, is God playing games with me? Is God, you know, playing a hide-and-seek kind of game with me? And I want you to know he's not. God wants to guide you more even than you want to have a guide. The problem is not that God doesn't want to guide us. The problem is sometimes we have a hard time following a guide because we seek to do things on our own way. And sometimes the problem is we try to find God's will the wrong way. And there's really, I wrote down about three different ideas or three different ways that sometimes we, the wrong approaches. Some of us, and I've talked to people, they really want this mystical approach. They're looking for a feeling, that it feels like God's leading me, that it feels like the right decision, that it feels, they're trying to be swept off their feet with emotion. And that's not how God does it. Some people are looking more for a mechanical or a logical approach. Give me a formula. Give me, you know, 3 points in a poem to how to follow God. Well, it's not that easy either, is it? It takes action on our part. It takes us to do some things. God's will is not a recipe. Sometimes we want the magical approach. We just, you know, want some fantastic sign. When I was first attending seminary classes, Dr. Patrick was sharing a story about a friend of his. They were at Baylor, and if you knew Dr. Patrick, you would know he was very proud of the fact that he attended Baylor. And he had a friend that he had been going and filling in at this little small church. And they really liked him, but his friend was kind of more, he had in mind bigger and better things. And so he would come back each week and they would talk about it in class. That was a part of their class work that your whatever, you know, you came back the next week and you talked about your message before the class. And so they talked about it each week, and this guy kept saying, you know, this church is really hinting they'd like for me to come and be there, but you know, I've got 2 more months and graduating from Baylor, going to go on to seminary, and, you know, I'm really looking to pastor in a bigger church. And again, you have to know Dr. Patrick and spend time with him to understand how hilarious the story gets by the time he gets done with it. They kept telling him, well, you know, it might be God's will for you to stay there and pastor that little church. I don't know. Finally, they came down to the point. He said, you know what? God is going to have to really give me a sign that that's what he wants me to do, instead of kind of what he had in mind to do and go to these other bigger churches. So unbeknown to him, the church, he knew about it, the church asked him, you know, if he would consider coming in view of a call. But what he didn't know is they also had talked to his professor, and so the professor had told Dr. Patrick and some of them. And so what they did was he said, well, I'm going to have to pray about it. And he'd already told them, you know, God's really going to have to show me this sign. And so what they did is they went down on Saturday night before he got down there, and they took a can of gasoline and they poured gasoline out on the lawn of this place where he'd been staying and caught it on fire, to where when he pulled up, there was this flaming words spelt out that said, stay here. And so he comes back that next week, and he couldn't believe, he was telling him, said, man alive, you won't believe what happened. And they were all, really, what? And like I said, Dr. Patrick, you have to know him to appreciate the story. We were all rolling in class by the time he got done with it. But then he looked very seriously at us, and he says, everybody wants a sign from God, but sometimes you just have to trust God without the signs. And that's my point this morning. That's what I want you to see, that, you know, some of us want that sign that we're on the right path. You know what? If we just trust God, he says he will lead us down the paths of righteousness. He will lead us down the correct path. And we just need to follow him. It's not that he doesn't want to lead us. It's that a lot of times we don't like to be led. Amen? Come on, amen? That's the problem, isn't it? We kind of get our ideas that, God, I can take care of this. I can handle this. But God wants to lead us. So how do we know? How do we let God lead us? How do we keep from having those feelings of frustration and those feelings of being fretful about making a decision? We let God be our guide. So how do we do that? Y'all know me. We're going to say, okay, how do I let him be a guide? Four things very quickly. Number one, I have to admit that I need a guide. Now that seems pretty basic, but that's where most of our problems lie. We don't admit that we need help. We don't admit that we need guides. Now, ladies, y'all can kind of tune me out for just a second, because really I understand I'm talking to the guys here. We hate to pull over and get instructions. Amen, guys? We hate to pull over and get directions for where we're going. Okay, ladies, you can tune back in again now. Talk to everybody. But we're all like that to some degree. We need to understand that when God likened us to sheep, it was for a reason. Sheep, by nature, tend to wander off and get off path. That's just in their nature. They need a shepherd. Isaiah 53:6, every one of us have strayed away like sheep. We have left God's path to follow our own. The real problem is not necessarily that we don't know what God's will is all the time for our lives. The biggest problem is a lot of times we want to follow our own will. So we have to admit that we need a guide. Sheep are very, very much in need of a guide. They don't see very well. They have a terrible sense of direction. And what I'm just described about sheep sounds an awful lot like humans. We can't see into the future, can we? Though all the things that we try to do, we can't predict what's going to happen. And so we need a guide. God made us that particular way, by the way. He made us to where we can't see in the future. We don't know exactly what's going to come about. And the reason for it is that it might push us and guide us back to letting Him guide our lives. If we could see into the future and if we could handle all those things, we can't do it now and we have a hard enough time admitting that we need the guide. Imagine what would it be like then, right? If we could see into the future. Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to man. And that'd be all right if we could stop right there. But what it goes on to say, but in the end it leads to death. Like I said, sheep have a hard time. They take the wrong path, and so do we. It's easy for sheep to get off track, and so is it easy for us. One other psalm there for you, Psalms 25:9. He guides the humble in what is right, and He teaches them His way. Humble means that we admit that we need a guide. Humbling is to humble ourselves to realize that we need help. And He says when we do that, then He teaches us what is the right way to go. So the first thing that we need to do is we need to admit that we need a guide. Here's the second thing that we need to do. We need to ask. We need to ask in faith for direction. Jesus said, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. Ask, seek, knock. He said, ask. You put all those together, it spells ask, doesn't it? God wants us to learn to ask Him. James, again, in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 6, it tells us how to get wisdom. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. It will be given unto you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. God is willing to give wisdom. He is willing to give direction. He is willing to give us the guidance that we need. The problem is we need to hang around long enough to get it, don't we? Really, if you want wisdom, there's two things that have to happen. You have to ask the right person for guidance. That's God. And you have to ask it with the right attitude, and that is in faith, believing, trusting. Now let me explain what I'm talking about, then I'm going to move on. A lot of times we say, well, I asked God, but He didn't answer my prayer. I asked God, but I didn't hear back from Him. When we examine it and we realize it, we ask God something, and about the time we shut our mouths, we get up and leave from His presence. God is under no obligation to chase us down and give us the answer, is He? We've come to Him, asking Him. So a lot of times we need to slow down, don't we? We need to ask in faith, in other words, believing that God's going to answer us. And that really brings us to number three. We need to admit we need a guide. We need to ask in faith. And thirdly, we need to listen to God's response. We need to listen. Rick Warren talks a lot of times he uses the analogy about in a room like this. There are radio waves, there are TV waves, there's all kinds of transmissions that are going through this building right now. If you had an AM or an FM radio receiver and it had battery life in it, you could turn it on right now, couldn't you? And you could tune in and you could get that channel and you could hear all the waves that are going by, going past here. If Jay had his radio that he uses at work and they were dispatching calls out or whatever the case might be, if you have the right channel, you can turn it to that channel, turn it on, and you could hear those waves, couldn't you? You could hear what's coming through. But we can't hear it right now. How come? Not tuned into it. We're not turned to the right channel. You get frustrated and you get You get stressed over the fact that God, you're not hearing from God. Well, brothers and sisters, it's just like that. God is always answering. You're just either not on the right channel, or dare might I say, you're on your phone talking more than you are letting it be hung up and listen to what he has to say. Yeah, I see some of y'all smiling and nodding one another, and I understand. We have to admit that we need a guide. We have to ask for the guidance. But brothers and sisters, we have to listen, don't we? Adults, what did you always tell your kids? Listen, right? Listen to what I'm saying. They would come to you and they would ask you for things. And you would try to give them an answer and they're already walking off. Maybe it was just my kids that did that. But brothers and sisters, if we were honest, we'd do that to God, don't we? And then we'd get all mad. Well, I asked him about that. I was asking for guidance about this, and I never got an answer. Well, maybe you didn't have the receiver turned on. Or maybe you had it, maybe you were away from the phone. See, I can have a radio turned on over at my house, but if I'm sitting right here, I can't hear it, can I? You got to be where the receiver's at too, don't you? And then you got to have it on the right channel. Oh, I can't tell you how many people I've talked to that I wish with all of my heart I could convince them and help them to understand you're just on the wrong channel. You're off doing your own thing. You're off doing what you want to do. And you're wondering why God doesn't answer your prayers or doesn't give you guidance. He's not over on that channel. He's not going to be on that channel. You need to get on God's channel. So what channels? What channels does he use? It brings up that point. Okay, Brother Mark, you're talking about a channel. Don't leave us there. Let me tell you what a channel. One channel is his word. Amen? He is not going to lead you astray through his word. His word will always lead you the right way. But you've got to go to it and study it. We talked about this, about God's word. We live in a society today in the United States that has more Bibles than any other place in the world, probably. I just put that little disclaimer because there might be somebody else ahead, but I doubt it. Do what? Okay. But yet we have so many people that don't read it. Don't follow it. He uses God's word, or he uses his word as a channel, as a way to speak to us. He also uses teachers, godly teachers. He uses Sunday school teachers. He uses spiritual leaders in your life, pastors, all different ones. He uses them. That's the channel that you need to be on. But I'll tell you something else. He also uses circumstances and he uses pain. I'm just going to be honest with y'all. I prefer the top two than the bottom two. Amen? But if you're not going to be on the first two channels, you leave him no option but to use the other two channels, don't you? To use circumstances, use pain. I don't remember where I got this saying, heard this saying from, and I would give him credit for it. I just honestly don't remember. It says this: God whispers to us in our pleasure, but he shouts to us in our pain. That's true, isn't it? He gets our attention when things are uncomfortable. We need to admit, we need to ask, we need to listen. God uses those things, the Bible and teachers and circumstances and pain. Because even the Apollo, even our space program, they don't just shoot a rocket off and then just watch it go, do they? They have in constant communication with it, and it fires and it makes little alterations to keep the trajectory, I can't even say that word, to keep the flight plan pattern in right. Well, we need to do the same thing, don't we? We can't say, oh, well, you know, 20 years ago, I read God's word all the time, and I was at church, and I went to the Bible studies, and I listened to godly teachers, and then expect to, 20 years later, still be on the right path. Okay, I can tell by looking at you, I'm meddling. I quit preaching now and started meddling, right? Okay, I'll move on. Not only do we need to admit, ask, and listen, we also need to trust. We need to trust God when we don't understand. We have one of the best examples of that ever in a very famous story that you guys all know. As a matter of fact, there are children that are back in the back there. I know Auntie and Jennifer have been through this particular story with them. That story of back when the children of Israel left out of Egypt. Pharaoh, Moses, God sends Moses, Pharaoh lets them go. They all leave out, and what's the very first thing they come to? They come to what seems like a brick wall. They come to the Red Sea. On one side, there's a wall, there's a mountain that's unacceptable. They can't go over that. On the other side, a big mountain, a wall of a mountain, they can't get over. In front of them, an ocean or water. Behind them is an Egyptian army that Pharaoh's changed his mind, and they're coming. They're going to come, and they're going to slaughter him, they think. And so they think, you know what? God has led us, or we thought he was leading us, and looky here, we've messed up. They needed to trust God, didn't they? Why did they need to trust God? Because God knew more than what they knew. They started talking about going back to Egypt, didn't they? But you see, God was preparing them for a miracle. God was preparing them for deliverance. What I'm trying to tell you is when you are asking for God's guidance and it seems like you're at a brick wall, just trust him. He's about to show you deliverance. He's about to show you a miracle. You see, after all that event, later on, they write in Psalm 77:19 about that event. Your road led by a pathway through the sea, but a pathway that nobody else knew was there. But God knew it was there, didn't he? And God knows the path that he's got you set on. Life is a journey. But I want to be very practical with you this morning as I try to conclude this. What do you do? Or maybe it's just me. Has anybody else wondered, well, what do you do while you're standing at the brick wall? Has anybody else ever faced that? What are we supposed to do when you can't go left, you can't go right, you can't go forward, and you definitely don't want to go backwards? What do you do? Well, again, God's word tells us what to do. It's in Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. You have it there. What do you do in the meantime? What do you do when you can't go any further? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. You trust him. And don't lean on your own. Hey, if the children of Israel had leaned on their own understanding, would they have walked across on dry land? No. And neither will you or I. It's when we rely upon him. We can't figure it out, but God can. As a matter of fact, he's already got it figured out. Psalms 37, 23, 24, it says, the steps of man are established by the Lord. When he falls, he shall not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. Those are just some great promises in God's word that I want to share with you this morning. Some great ideas and how much God wants to guide your life, how much he wants to be your guide. So brothers and sisters, it really just comes down to, are we going to first of all admit that we need a guide? And then are we going to go, guys, against our nature, and are we going to ask God for direction? Ask in faith. Ask expecting God to give you an answer. Because you see, he's not going to force you to walk down a path, is he? But he will lead you. So we need to admit we need it. We need to ask in faith. And then, beloved, we need, if I can be real blunt, we need to shut up and listen. I said this, I think, last week or week before. There is a good reason why God only gave us one mouth and two ears. We ought to be listening twice as much as we're talking. And then we need to trust him. The Bible says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, God's children begging for bread. I love that passage, don't y'all? Never seen them forsaken. He says, the way of the righteous, there is life. And along that path is immortality. This is Proverbs 12, 29, 28. God says, you can go my way, or you can choose to go your way. It's up to you. My way is fulfillment, blessings, fellowship. It's all good. And it's stressless. Or you can choose your way. And I can promise you right now, you're going to be stressed out going your way. Amen? The way of the righteous, there's life. Along the path is immortality. Is he saying that we can live forever on this earth? No. That's not what he's talking about. And I'll be honest with y'all, I don't think any of us really, really want to, do we? Not when we start learning and understanding what heaven's all about and what's awaiting us. Tell you what, the more I dig into what heaven's like, the more I get anxious for it. But while we're on this earth, he wants to guide us. For the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. For he leads me down the paths of righteousness. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. And he leads me in the path of righteousness. Is he your shepherd? If he's not, then all bets are off. All these things that I've just been telling you about, listening to him, trusting him, all those kinds of things, that doesn't apply. David laid it out for us. We got to know him as the shepherd, don't we?